Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first time the doll spoke without its batteries, Lauren was standing in the hallway outside her daughter's room. The voice lasted only a few seconds. It was soft and mechanical, followed by the unmistakable murmur of 6-year-old Sophie answering from her bed. Lauren opened the door immediately, but the room was dark and quiet. Sophie appeared to be asleep. The doll was sitting upright beside her pillow. Less than a week earlier, Lauren's sister had arrived with 2 boxes of secondhand toys. She had purchased them at an estate sale for almost nothing, intending to keep a few things for her own children. Most of the toys were too young for them, so she offered the rest to Sophie. Sophie found the doll near the bottom of the second box. It was about 18 inches tall, with light brown hair, blue eyes, and a soft body attached to plastic arms and legs. It wore a faded purple dress and had a small speaker beneath the fabric on its back. The doll was worn but not damaged. Its hair needed brushing and one shoe was missing, but Sophie loved it immediately. She carried it to the kitchen, found a ribbon for its hair, and named it Lucy. Lauren's sister didn't know anything about the doll. The boxes had been sitting in the garage at the estate sale, mixed with children's books and old board games. She hadn't noticed that the doll could talk until Sophie pressed its hand and triggered the voice. The recording was slightly distorted. Lucy asked to play, laughed, and then said she was tired. Sophie pressed the hand several more times, discovering 4 or 5 phrases that repeated in the same order. By bedtime, Lauren had heard them enough. Sophie wanted Lucy to sleep beside her. Lauren agreed, although she moved the doll away from Sophie's face after she fell asleep. There was something unsettling about the open blue eyes staring across the room, but Lauren blamed that on the dim light and the doll's faded features. Shortly after 2 that morning, Lucy began talking. Lauren woke to a child's voice coming through the baby monitor that still sat on her nightstand. Sophie no longer needed it, but the bedrooms were on opposite ends of the hallway. Lauren went to the bedroom and found Sophie sleeping with one arm around it. Nothing moved as she entered. She carried Lucy to the dresser and returned to bed. The doll spoke again, Before morning, this time Ben heard it too, he found Lucy lying exactly where Lauren had placed her, repeating the same phrase about wanting to play. He pressed the hand several times, but nothing happened. The next morning, Ben examined the doll. The battery compartment was beneath a flap in its back, secured by a small screw. Inside were three old batteries, one of which had begun to corrode. He assumed the damaged connection had caused the doll to activate without being touched. He cleaned the compartment and replaced the batteries. The voice sounded clearer afterward, and the hand worked every time Sophie pressed it. For two nights, the doll remained quiet. On the third night, Lauren heard it shortly after midnight. The voice came through the monitor in broken pieces as though the recording were playing too slowly. One of the familiar phrases stretched into an unnatural murmur before stopping. Sophie didn't wake. Ben removed the batteries the following morning. He showed Lauren the empty compartment before replacing the screw, then pressed the doll's hand several times. It made no sound. Sophie was unhappy about losing the voice, but Ben told her he would try to repair it later. She carried Lucy upstairs and continued playing with her as if nothing had changed. That evening, Lauren paused outside Sophie's room and listened to her talking. Sophie often made up conversations between her toys, changing her voice for each character. This sounded different. She would say something, wait several seconds, and then answer as though someone had responded. Lauren stepped inside and found Sophie sitting cross-legged on the floor with Lucy facing her. Several other dolls were arranged nearby. Sophie explained that Lucy was telling her about another house. Lauren assumed she was inventing a story and asked what the house was like. Sophie said Lucy couldn't remember everything, only that her old bedroom had yellow walls and a window beside the bed. There had also been another little girl, but Lucy became upset whenever Sophie asked about her. Lauren felt a brief chill despite herself. Children created elaborate histories for their toys all the time, and Sophie had probably heard adults mention that Lucy came from an estate sale. She reminded Sophie that Lucy couldn't really talk without batteries. Sophie knew that. She said Lucy didn't use her regular voice when they were alone. Lauren didn't ask what that meant. She helped Sophie put away the other toys and left Lucy sitting in a small chair near the bed. Nothing happened until the following night. Lauren woke to the sound of Sophie talking through the monitor. The clock read 1:47. She listened for a moment, expecting to hear the sleepy nonsense Sophie sometimes spoke while dreaming. Sophie asked someone why she couldn't go home. A pause followed. Then came a faint burst of mechanical sound. Lauren sat up. The voice was too low to understand, but she recognized the flat electronic tone of the doll's recording. She woke Ben, and they listened together. Sophie murmured something else, followed by another indistinct response. The second voice was clearly coming through the monitor, but neither parent could make out the words. Ben reached Sophie's room first and turned on the light. Sophie was sitting upright in bed with Lucy propped against her knees. She squinted toward the doorway, annoyed by the sudden brightness rather than frightened. Ben picked up the doll and pressed its hand. It remained silent. He opened the compartment and confirmed that the batteries were still gone. Sophie insisted she hadn't heard the recorded voice. Lucy had been whispering to her just as she had the night before. When Lauren asked what the doll wanted, Sophie became quiet. She glanced at Lucy in her father's hands before explaining that the doll didn't like being left alone on the chair. Ben carried Lucy downstairs and placed her in a kitchen cabinet. Sophie protested, but he promised she could have the doll back in the morning. For the rest of the night, the house remained quiet. The next day, Sophie was exhausted. She ate little breakfast and kept asking when Lucy could come out of the cabinet. Lauren eventually returned the doll, but told Sophie it would no longer stay in her bedroom at night. Sophie held Lucy tightly against her chest. She warned her mother that the doll wouldn't like that. Lauren tried to smile, treating the comment as another part of Sophie's game. Yet that night, she put Lucy in the hall closet and closed the door herself. Shortly after 2, Lauren woke to the mechanical voice coming through the monitor again. This time, Sophie wasn't answering. She was crying. Lauren and Ben reached Sophie's room within seconds. She was curled near the headboard with her blanket pulled beneath her chin. Lucy was still inside the hall closet, exactly where Lauren had left her. When Ben opened the door, the doll sat on the shelf between a stack of towels and an old suitcase. Sophie said the voice had come from beside her bed. She hadn't seen the doll, but she believed Lucy was angry about being shut away. The whispering had awakened her, and when she refused to get out of bed, Lucy told her she wasn't supposed to leave her alone. Lauren stayed with Sophie while Ben examined the closet and doll. The batteries were still gone, and nothing inside the compartment appeared loose. He pressed the hand and shook the doll gently, but it made no sound. He began to wonder whether the baby monitor was picking up interference from another device. Their neighbors had young children, and someone nearby might own a similar talking toy. That could explain the faint voice coming through the speaker, although it didn't explain why it happened only after Sophie brought Lucy home. Ben unplugged the monitor and put it in the garage. Lucy spent the rest of the night in the kitchen cabinet while Sophie slept beside Lauren. The next morning, her parents returned the doll but repeated that she couldn't keep it in her bedroom after dark. Sophie accepted the rule reluctantly. Throughout the day, however, she carried Lucy everywhere. She brought the doll to the breakfast table, sat it beside her while watching television, and refused to let it remain alone when she went outside. Her other toys stayed untouched. Lauren tried to redirect her attention, suggesting a game they often played together. Sophie agreed at first, but within minutes, she went back for Lucy. She explained that the doll became frightened when she couldn't see her. That afternoon, Lauren called her sister and asked again where the doll had come from. Her sister remembered only that the boxes had been in the garage at an estate sale. The woman running it said they contained things her family no longer wanted. There had been no mention of a child dying or anything else unusual. Lauren felt foolish for even asking. She still didn't know whether the estate had belonged to an elderly person, a family that had moved, or someone clearing out years of accumulated belongings. There was no reason to assume the sale concealed a tragedy, simply because a secondhand doll made her uncomfortable. That evening, Ben removed the voice mechanism. It was a small plastic unit beneath the doll's fabric back, connected by two thin wires to the switch in its hand. He disconnected the wires and lifted out the entire piece containing the speaker and battery compartment. Lucy was now only cloth and plastic. There was nothing inside her capable of producing a sound. Sophie became upset when she saw what he had done. She accused him of hurting the doll and carried Lucy upstairs before he could explain. Moments later, her bedroom door slammed. Lauren and Ben exchanged a worried look, but nothing else moved. When Lauren checked on Sophie, she found her sitting on the floor with Lucy cradled in her arms. Sophie wouldn't look up. Lauren sat beside her and tried to explain that Lucy was only a toy. Removing the broken voice box couldn't hurt her. Sophie said Lucy didn't agree. The certainty in her voice frightened Lauren more than the words. Sophie didn't sound as though she were pretending. She looked tired and anxious, as if protecting the doll had become a responsibility she no longer wanted, but was afraid to abandon. Lauren asked what Lucy said when they talked at night. At first, Sophie refused to answer. Then she explained that Lucy told her about the yellow bedroom and a little girl who used to sleep there. The girl had cried often and sometimes hid the doll beneath her blanket so someone wouldn't take it away. Sophie didn't know the girl's name. Lucy sometimes called Sophie by it, but the name was difficult to understand. When Lauren asked what had happened to the girl, Sophie pulled the doll closer. Lucy wouldn't tell her because she wasn't ready yet. Lauren suggested putting the doll away for a few days. Sophie reacted so strongly that Lauren immediately backed down. She began crying and insisted that Lucy would think she had abandoned her too. That night, Lauren locked the doll in a cabinet in the laundry room. She showed Sophie where it was and promised it would be returned in the morning. Sophie checked the cabinet twice before agreeing to go upstairs. Without the baby monitor, Lauren expected the house to feel quieter. Instead, she lay awake listening for any movement from Sophie's room. A little after midnight, she heard her daughter talking. Lauren walked into the hallway and stopped outside Sophie's open door. She could see her lying in bed, facing the empty chair where Lucy had once sat. Sophie whispered something Lauren couldn't hear. A voice answered. It was faint but unmistakable. The sound had the same mechanical quality as Lucy's recordings, although it came from somewhere inside the bedroom. Lauren turned on the light. The voice stopped immediately. Sophie covered her eyes and complained that Lucy had almost told her something important. Lauren checked beneath the bed, inside the closet, and behind the curtains. The room was empty except for Sophie and her usual toys. Downstairs, the doll remained locked in the laundry room cabinet. Ben searched the house while Lauren stayed with Sophie. He checked the vents, attic access, and every electronic toy he could find. Nothing was operating, and the voice mechanism he had removed from Lucy was still on his workbench in the garage. Neither parent slept much that night. Over the next few days, Sophie became increasingly withdrawn. She hurried home from school to find Lucy and resisted leaving the house on weekends. When Lauren arranged for her to spend an afternoon with a friend, Sophie complained of a stomachache until the visit was canceled. She no longer said she wanted to play with the doll. She said Lucy needed her. One evening, Lauren found Sophie asleep on the couch with Lucy pressed against her chest. She gently lifted the doll away and placed it on a chair. Sophie woke immediately. Still half asleep, she reached for Lucy and warned her mother not to take the doll. Lauren asked why she was so frightened. Sophie looked toward the doll before answering. Lucy had finally told her what happened to the first little girl. The girl's parents had tried to separate them. After that, the little girl never came home. Lauren didn't ask Sophie for more details that night. Her daughter was exhausted, and every question seemed to make her more anxious. Lauren allowed her to hold Lucy while she fell asleep on the couch, but she remained beside her until Ben came home from work. Once Sophie was asleep, Lauren told him what she had said about the first little girl. Neither parent believed the doll should remain in the house. They had delayed removing it because they didn't want to intensify Sophie's fear, but her attachment was becoming more disturbing than the unexplained voice. She was losing sleep, withdrawing from other children, and behaving as if the doll would punish her for leaving it alone. Ben placed Lucy in a plastic storage container with a locking lid. He carried it into the garage and put it inside the trunk of his car. His plan was to take it away the next morning while Sophie was at school. He didn't know yet what he would do with it, but he wouldn't donate it or give it to another child. When Sophie woke and discovered Lucy was gone, she panicked. She searched the laundry room closets and kitchen cabinets before confronting her parents. Lauren explained that Lucy needed to leave because the doll was frightening her and keeping her awake. Sophie insisted she wasn't afraid of Lucy. She was afraid for her. If they separated them, the same thing that happened to the first little girl might happen to Sophie. Lauren tried to remain calm. She reminded Sophie that a doll couldn't decide whether she came home or control what happened to her family. Sophie looked toward the garage door. Ben and Lauren exchanged a glance. The doll had been moved while Sophie slept, and neither parent had mentioned the car. Lauren asked how she knew. Sophie said Lucy had told her. Ben checked the trunk. The container was still locked, and the doll lay exactly where he had placed it. He carried the entire container to a detached storage shed behind the house and locked the door. Sophie went to school upset, but Lauren decided that keeping her usual routine was better than allowing the doll to control another day. She emailed Sophie's teacher and asked her to call if Sophie seemed unusually tired or distressed. For most of the day, the house was quiet. That afternoon, Sophie came home and went directly to the back window overlooking the shed. She stood there for several minutes before Lauren encouraged her to have a snack and begin her homework. Sophie asked when Lucy was coming inside. Lauren told her the doll wasn't coming back. The answer upset her, but the reaction was different from the panic that morning. Sophie seemed more sad than frightened. She cried quietly and admitted that she didn't always like talking to Lucy. The doll became angry when Sophie asked too many questions and sometimes woke her repeatedly after she tried to sleep. Lucy also disliked Sophie's friends. She told Sophie that other children would take her toys, laugh at her, or convince her parents to give the doll away. That was why Sophie no longer wanted to leave the house. Lauren asked why she hadn't told them sooner. Sophie had believed they would take Lucy away. The doll had been right about that. Lauren didn't try to argue with her. She held Sophie and explained that taking the doll away wasn't a punishment. It was something parents did when an object or a person made their child feel frightened, isolated, or responsible for things she couldn't control. Sophie slept in her parents' room that night. Sometime after 1 a.m, Lauren woke and realized Sophie was no longer beside her. The bedroom door stood open. She awakened Ben and they hurried into the hallway. The stairs were dark, but a light from the kitchen shone across the floor below. They found the back door unlocked and Sophie standing barefoot on the small patio. She was facing the storage shed. Ben carried her inside while Lauren locked the door. Sophie was awake but confused. She said she had heard Lucy calling from outside. The doll wanted her to open the container because it was dark inside, and she couldn't breathe. Ben reminded her that dolls didn't need air. Sophie began crying and said that Lucy sounded like the other little girl now. A faint sound came from the shed. All three heard it. It was too distant to understand, but the mechanical tone carried through the quiet yard. Ben turned on the outside lights and went to check while Lauren stayed inside with Sophie. The shed was locked. So was the storage container. When Ben opened it, Lucy lay on her back with her eyes staring upward. There were no batteries, no speaker, and no voice mechanism inside the doll. Ben closed the container and brought it inside the garage. He stayed there until morning, unwilling to leave it close enough for Sophie to hear or believe she heard it calling her again. After Sophie left for school, Ben drove the doll to a waste disposal site on the other side of town. He didn't tell the workers anything unusual. He placed the doll and the storage container into a large trash receptacle himself and watched as both disappeared beneath several heavy bags. He kept the removed voice mechanism. That afternoon, Lauren told Sophie the doll was gone and wouldn't be returning. Sophie cried, but she didn't ask where Ben had taken it. She seemed relieved to know Lucy was no longer waiting in the shed. The first few nights were difficult. Sophie woke several times, convinced she heard whispering. Lauren or Ben checked the house with her and then stayed until she fell asleep again. They never dismissed her fear, but they also stopped discussing Lucy as though the doll could still influence what happened. Gradually, Sophie began sleeping through the night. Her other toys returned to the bed and floor. She accepted an invitation to play at a friend's house and came home talking about something other than Lucy for the first time in weeks. Within a month, she seemed more like herself. Lauren's sister attempted to learn more about the estate sale but found little useful information. The house had belonged to an older woman who had moved into assisted living. Her relatives had brought items from several family homes to sell, so no one knew where the box of toys originated. There was no way to identify the first little girl or determine whether she had ever existed. Lauren and Ben eventually stopped searching. Any story they found would have been impossible to connect to the doll with certainty. They already knew the one fact that mattered. They had both heard a mechanical voice after Ben removed not only the batteries, but the entire mechanism that produced it. Months later, Lauren asked Sophie whether she remembered what Lucy had said about the first little girl. Sophie remembered, but she no longer wanted to discuss it. She said only that Lucy missed the girl and had been trying to find someone who would stay with her. Lauren didn't ask what might have happened if they had allowed Sophie to keep the doll. She was simply grateful they had removed it before their daughter decided she could never leave.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, and even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might just sell credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, and even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might just sell credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, and even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might just sell credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.